Okay, so we're holding in Megillah Yudches Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom. We had said in the Mishnah, Valois Shishama Shuit Yatza, a foreigner who heard it in Hebrew, he fulfilled his obligation. Questions the Gemara, Valois Adar Mai Kamre, but he has no clue what they're talking about. He doesn't understand Hebrew, he hasn't come to Machon Meir Zulpan. He walks in here and they're talking Hebrew, and it's all Hebrew to him, he doesn't know what it means. Answers the Gemara, it's just like the women and the simple folk that they don't understand Hebrew, and yet we say they should come to shul and hear the Megillah. They don't know what's being read. In ancient times, the women only spoke Aramaic. That was the spoken language. Now, they learned in Hebrew, but the women and the common folk, they only spoke Aramaic, and yet they have a mitzvah to hear the Megillah. So to a foreigner, he doesn't understand Hebrew. Fine, that's okay. Continues the Gemara. Matkit la Ravina, Rabbi Avina asks a powerful question. Matkit means he attacks with the question. Atuanan hachashtopanim hachashtranim b'nei haramachim miyadinan. What are you talking about, the common folk and the women? Says Ravina, I'll quote you two words that we don't know what they mean. It says he sent it off with his swift horsemen, and he calls them the Achashtranim B'nei Aramachim. Do we know what he's talking about? We don't know what those words mean. Ela mitzvat kriya pirsum enisa. But we say the mitzvah is to read the text and to publicize the miracle. And even though we don't know each and every word what it means, but technically we understand the storyline, so we're in fulfillment of reading the Megillah and publicizing the miracle. Hachanami, the same thing is true with regards to the women, the common folk, the foreigners who don't understand the Hebrew. Mitzvat kriya, they're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of reading the text. Upilsume nisa, and they're publicizing the miracle. And that's why they fulfill it. And Saravina says, don't make it like we know. We don't either know. And because we don't either know exactly what these words mean, we can no longer fulfill the halacha of writing it in another language. Want to write it in English, you got to have an exact translation. We don't know what these words mean. And that's why we can no longer translate a Megillah into any language, because we don't know what these words mean. We don't know how to translate them. So technically, yeah, you could write a Megillah in English and then read it and be yotze. Practically, you can't do that because we don't know how to translate every word.
So Rashi translates Rashi using the Persian, right?
Yeah, okay.
So we don't accept Rashi as the truth?
Truth is a big word.
Is the correct parish?
The question is how accurate it is. Meaning we have words in Shema that we question whether we know how to translate them accurately. We understand the concept. The question is how accurate it is. And your translation has to be accurate.
Okay. So the question is, if Rashi says it's a fast camel or something like this, we think it's a fast camel, but we're not certain.
We're not certain, exactly. What is Achashtranim? What is Bnei Ramachim? Together, we know the concept is a fast camel, a way of getting word out quickly. But more than that, we don't know. Yeah?
But from my understanding, because the Megillah was written, do you think it was also, like, it was written in, like, a code?
In certain respects, there are certain things that they couldn't say overtly, but this isn't one of them.
Because from my understanding is that Esther was also under kind of she's also under attack in a way. So that's the only reason I would come up with a question like that. Write in the code so that if she gets captured or something, that they wouldn't understand what she's writing.
Yeah, but still, we need to translate the literal, what they mean, what the words mean. We don't need to decipher the code, but here we have words that we don't know exactly what they mean. We said in the Mishnah, Kra'ase Rugin Yatza. We said in the Mishnah, if he read it, Serugin, he has fulfilled his obligation. Lavi Yadi Rabbanan, my Serugin. The rabbis, the students of the academy, they didn't know what the word Serugin means. Shamuel Amta de Berebi, then they heard Rebbe's maid. She said to the students who were coming in, a group, and then another group, and another group into Rebbe's house, she said to them, "Ad matah atem nichnasim serugin serugin? To when are you going to be coming in piecemeal? Coming in, stopping, coming in, stopping." So they learned from her that the word serugin means piecemeal, to read, to pause, to read, to pause. They learned from Amta the Bei Rebbe. And there are many halachos we learn from Amta the Bei Rebbe. Right? Rebbe was ill. Everyone was praying for him to live. The blacksmith was banging. And every time Rebbe would almost doze off into death, he'd start banging and Rebbe would perk up again. So she sent a letter to the blacksmith and said, do me a favor, stop banging for a half hour. Let Rebbe die in peace. The rabbis were praying Rebbe should live and poor Rebbe was suffering. She sent a letter to the academy, guys, you're hurting him. Let him die away in peace. All the halachos that we discuss, when do we have to prolong life, or when can we sit back and let a person pass away and we don't have to interfere and prolong his life, they draw a lot of concepts from what Amta the Bei Rebbe did, what she did, this maid. And there are other areas in halacha that we learn from Amta the Bei Rebbe, this maid from the house of Rebbe.
So she was very learned. Rebbe
we see she was a top-notch woman. She was learned. I don't know. You see, the Chazal learned halacha from her. Oh, she knew what Serugin meant. The rabbis didn't know which vegetable that appears in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. What is Chalog Logot? They heard her talking to the man who took this vegetable called parparchine. He was scattering it. She said, "To when will you scatter your chalog logot?" So they understood that chalog logot are this vegetable. They didn't know what the verse in Mishle that says salsileo, meaning if you what would be a good translation of salsileo? How do they translate it? Salsileo. If you, it's like you fiddle with it. You twirl it around. And then it will uplift you. They heard the maid talking to a man who was twirling his hair. So when are you going to fiddle, twirl around with your hair? Maybe he was perfecting his locks. Maybe he was perfecting his payas, yeah? So she said to him, when are you going to twirl around your hair? So they understood that salsilea is a way of twirling around. It's to fiddle with. The verse says, throw upon Hashem your weight, so to speak, your needs. They didn't know what the word Yehov means. Throw upon Hashem Yehovcha. I was once going with an Arab, Kadarina tuna, and I was carrying a weight. He said to me, grab your yehav, grab your weight, and throw it on the camel. So I understood that yehav is something weighty. The rabbis didn't know what the prophet Isaiah was saying when he used these words, teitetia b'matatei, of destruction. Shamol amta de b'Rebbe, they heard the maid of Rebbe's house saying, davamit l'chavrata, shkoli teitetia v'tati beita, grab the broom and sweep the house. So they understood, v'teitetia b'matatei ashmed, means, I will sweep away the Jewish people with a broom of destruction. So the tetate, matate is a broom, also in modern Hebrew, and teitetia is, I will sweep it away. Okay, now that we started off by understanding the word serugin in our Mishnah, and then we went off to a bunch of other words that were beyond the rabbi's tradition, and then they heard them from different sources, primarily Rebbe's maid. So now we come back to the serugin of the serugin of the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya or Rav Oshaya, Kira'a Serugin Yata. If a person read the Megillah piecemeal, he has fulfilled his obligation, Serusin, but if he read it sliced up and out of order, Lo Yata, then he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. You can't read the Megillah out of order. Rav Muna Omer Mishum Rav Yehuda. Rav Muna quoted something that he heard in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, but he did not hear it directly from him. That's what it means, Mishum. Mishum means quoted, but not directly. Do you guys mind moving over a drop? I think the camera is being blocked a little bit. Sorry. So Rav Muna quoted the name Rabbi Yehuda, Af Beserugin, Im Sha'ak Deligmot Kula Chozer LeRosh, when he read it piecemeal. If he paused in between pieces long enough to complete the whole Megillah, he's got to start from the beginning. Amar Rav Yosef al-Hakir Rabbi Muna. Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef said, the halacha is like Rav Muna who quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that if you paused long enough to complete the whole Megillah, you got to start from scratch. Now this is halacha not only with regard to reading Megillah, it's halacha with regard to Shmona Esrei, with regard to blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You hear a blast, and then you pause for an hour, and then you hear the next blast. Do we say that the pause disqualifies what you've done so far, and you got to start from scratch? So Rav Yosef gave a ruling that the halacha is going to be like Rav Muna in the name of Rav Yehuda. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. So Abaye asked Rav Yosef, when you say, if he paused long enough to finish all of it, do you mean, kedei ligmor et kula meicha dekai leseifa? Does that mean a pause long enough to finish it from where he's up to? Or dilma mereisha leseifa? Do you mean the whole thing? Amalei mereisha leseifa? He said, I mean the whole thing, from start to finish. Meaning, if you pause long enough to complete the whole thing, then it's a problem. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a different measurement. Sometimes this pause disqualifies, sometimes that pause. So we say the amount of time it will take you to finish all of it. We have a quote in the name of Rav that the halacha is like Rabbi Muna. Shmuel amar en halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Shmuel says the halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. Now, if the Gemara would end here, then we'd have a problem because you have Rav and Rav Yosef against Shmuel, and Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav when it comes to Yisurim. Rav Yosef came after Rav and Shmuel, and at least according to the Rif, the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rif, we say Alacha kebasroi, we go with the latter opinion, unless he argues head on with his rabbis. If he argues head on with his rabbis, so then we say only from Abaye and Rava onward is the Alacha like the latter opinion. But if he isn't arguing head on, like in this case, so then the Alacha would still go like Rav Yosef, because he is the later opinion. Other Rishonim don't learn like the Rav. Other Rishonim say this rule that the halacha is like the latter opinion only begins with Abaye and Rava. Irrespective of whether Rav Yosef argued head on with Rav and Shmuel or not, the fact that he's a later opinion doesn't interest us. Only from Rava, Abaye and Rava onward. Before Abaye and Rava, we say, Ein halacha ketalmid mkom rabo. You don't go with the student in place of the rabbi. Rav and Shmuel were greater than Rav Yosef. They were an earlier generation. They were like his teachers. We're going to go with Rav and Shmuel. But the Rif says not that way. The Rif says, so long as they're not arguing head on, we'll always go with the later opinion. So...
that doesn't make sense that we'd go with them. I mean, of course they were higher, but the generations after are with the changes that happen in the world.
That deserves a longer discussion. Why is it that most Rishonim, and even in the Rif, the Rush understands in the Rif, and others, that the Rif would also agree that this concept of Halacha Kebasroi only begins with the generation of Abaye and Rava? Why is that? That deserves its own discussion. Nope, not on Thursday night either. Deserves its own class. Back to the Gemara. Besura Matni Hachi. Bepumbedisa matni hachi. In Surah, they had it quoted the way we have it in our Gemara. But in Pumbedisa, which was another great yeshiva in Babylon, they taught like this. Amarav Kahano. Amarav. Rav Kahana quoted Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Muna. V'Shmuel amar, en halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Rav Kahana quoted in the name of Rav that the halacha is like Rabbi Muna. Shmuel says the halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. Rav Bevai matni ipcha. Rav Bevai had on tradition the other way, that Rav said, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Muna, v'Shmuel amar halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Amar Rav Yosef, nekot de Rav Bevai biyadcha. Rav Yosef says, you want to know who to hold on to? Which tradition? Grab on to Rav Bevai, t'Shmuelu d'chayish leichida. Because Shmuel, ordinarily, he's the one that worries about minority opinion. Did not? For the Mishnah says the following case. Shomeret Yavam, a woman lost her husband, and she is waiting for his younger sibling to perform Yibum to marry her. Now, technically, it goes in order of age. So the eldest brother should perform Yibum. Shekidesh Achiv et Achota. And then one of the siblings went and did kiddushin to her sister. Now, technically, you're not allowed to marry two sisters. And once one brother cannot perform yibum, so Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Amru, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they taught, Omrim lo hamtena chiaseh achicha gadol maaseh. We tell him, wait, don't marry her, don't do nisuin, because if you marry her, then she won't have yibum or chalitza, then she'll be the sister of your wife. Right now you only did kiddushin, wait, let your big brother either do yibum or chalitza, whichever mitzvah he chooses to do, and then you'll complete the marriage, because otherwise you'll ruin everything, there'll be no mitzvah, no yibum or chalitza. So this is a minority opinion. This is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's opinion. And Omar Shmuel, halachak Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shmuel goes with this minority opinion. So now you want to know, which way does Shmuel go? Does Shmuel say the halacha is like Rabbi Muna? Or does Rav say the halacha is like Rabbi Muna? It's more likely that Shmuel goes with the minority opinion, because we find elsewhere in Shas that Shmuel, he gives great weight to a minority opinion. Good question. So maybe Thursday night we'll get to discuss that. Tanu Rabbanan Hishmit Basofer. So basically, Rav Yosef tells us go with Rabbeivai, which places Rav with the opinion that says you don't have to start from scratch, and the halacha is like Rav in Isurim. So then the way things would seem at this point, the halacha is going to be you don't have to start from scratch. Even if you had a long pause, you paused for 2 hours, which sometimes happens. You know, we've had reading of the Megillah in this country when there was war, and suddenly there was a siren, and in the middle of the Megillah, everyone ran down to the Miklat. And then you have to wait till you could come back up. So sometimes you read the Megillah in the Miklat. And sometimes people have to wait until they could continue reading the Megillah. So there can be instances where there is such a pause.
What is the Miklat?
The bunker. New point. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braisa from Rav Chia or Rav Oshaya's Beis Medrash. Shishmit basofer otiyot opsukin. Let's say the scribe left out some verses or letters. Vekrana kore kim tugmanam togim. And the one who read it as one who is translating by heart. He read it by heart. He knows the verses by heart. So there's a word missing here, a word missing there. And the guy who reads it by heart. Yetza. So then he has fulfilled his obligation. So even though technically we said you're not allowed to read the Megillah by heart, that's if you're reading the Megillah by heart. But if you're reading the Megillah from the text, but you're missing a word here and there, that's okay. Meitivei, we have a question on that. The Braisa says, "Hayu bo'otiyot metushtashot." If there were letters that were smudged, they were faded, or mekuraot, or torn. Im rishuman nikar, if you could tell the shape of the letters, kshera, then it's a kosher Megillah. Vim lav sulan, if not, it's a puzzle Megillah. So the Braisa seems to say, even if there are letters that are faded, that will already disqualify the Megillah. We said that if you're missing whole words here and there, it's kosher. Says the Gemara, lo kasha, that's not a question. Ha bekula, ha bemikzata. That Braisa that says if it's faded, it's disqualified, that's talking about where the whole Megillah is faded. So there, yes, the whole Megillah being faded, if you can't tell what the letters are, that's disqualified. But if only part of the Megillah, you're missing a letter here, a word there, that's okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another Braisa. Shmit ba kore pasuk echad. Let's say the guy who's reading the Megillah, he skips a pasuk. He reads Haman, everyone bangs, and then he picks up in the wrong Haman. He skipped the pasuk, yeah? So, lo yomar ikra et kula v'achar kach ikra to pasuk. He shouldn't say, you know what, I'll finish the Megillah, and then when I finish the Megillah, I'll go back and fill in the pasuk I skipped. Ela kore moto pasuk ve'ilach. But rather, he has to go back to the pasuk he skipped and continue reading from there. Right? That's the din we learned in the Mishnah. You cannot read the Megillah out of order. If you fill in that pasuk later on, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Nichnas lebet haknetzet. This happens every year. A guy walks into shul, umatzat zibur shekaru chetzia. He finds the congregation started a half hour ago. They're halfway through the Megillah. Lo yomar ikra chetzia im atzibur. A guy shouldn't say, you know what, I'll finish the second half with them. ואחר כך יקרא חציה, and then I'll go, I'll catch the later minion, I'll catch the first half. You can't do that. אלא קרא אותה מתחילתה ועד סופה, but rather one must read it from beginning to end in order. You can't just read it out of order. Let's go to the next two dots, yeah? Another three lines. We said in the Mishnah, if he read it, mitnamnim, dozing off, yatsa, he has fulfilled his obligation. Hechidami mitnamnim. What does it mean, dozing off? How do you define that? When is it called sleeping? When is it called dozing? So says the Gemara as follows. And there's the Gemara all over. The Gemara says like this. Nim velo nim. Awake, but he's not awake. Tir, asleep, but not fully asleep. Tir, like air. Ter, velo ter, and not fully awake. Dekaru levani, you call him and he says, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, you know that kind of sleep? Yeah, he says, yeah, I'm here. You sometimes see that in shir, right? The guys are dozing, suddenly you call my name. Yeah, I'm here, I'm with you, yeah, sure. Dekaru levani, you call him, he answers. Velo yadal adure svara, but then you ask him, could you explain to me? And that's a little bit too deep for him. The guy's dozing and he won't be able to give you anything logical. But if you remind him, hey, you know, we just said that, then he says, mitko, yeah, I got that. Right? You guys know that. Okay, so that's called mitnanem, says the Gemara. Okay, we'll
so
pick up.
So if he does that, he is yatza.
His yatza, yeah, he's fulfilled his obligation. Yeah, now the Chayadam says, that's provided that he's the one reading. Right? If he's reading it. Oh, come on, you could do that. When you know the Megillah half by heart, you could do that.
Yeah.
But to listen that way, then... Okay, so we'll pick up here, Bezachim, tomorrow night.